Okay, for a message this morning, I thought about speaking about music. Title of the message is Music That Is Acceptable to God. For a text verse, you can look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19, the last verse in that psalm, verse 14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We think about singing, the music that we have. It is a very important part of our life. A lot of us enjoy singing, and probably even if we don't enjoy singing, we enjoy listening to it. It is very much a part of our human makeup to love that part, to love music. And there is a future song that's going to be sung. We have that about that in Revelation. We'll look at that towards the end. And I was thinking about that in eternity, and I found this verse in Job 38. I look at that and think about before time was. I think this is talking about that. Job 38, verse 4. And this is the Lord talking to Job. It says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." So there we have reference to singing in eternity past. I don't believe this is the first time that the sons of God or the morning stars sang together, but it was done there at the creation of the world, and when the cornerstone was laid. And we see that it is a very, very real part of us and a very real part of eternity. So I think it is important that we think about music and the kind that we definitely want to have our music that is acceptable to God. Music is something that we think about as we think about the words of a song. That's why I chose this verse in Psalm 19:14. We often sing along with the recorded music that we listen to. Of course, we sing songs here at church and together, and we do in our own lives by ourselves as well, I'm sure, but it is the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart as we think about that. You can be listening to a song, and it's not just neutral. It is what you're thinking about. And we want that to be acceptable in the sight of God. I very much appreciate the singing that we have in our worship services. I think it is what God wants. I believe it is a good practice that we have. And I think about the church as a whole. The Mennonite Church has been fairly stable in promoting good music in our worship services. And I appreciate that. We have good, solid hymns that we sing. And the other night we heard the school program. We can see that good music is being taught. I appreciate that as well and would encourage that. And so I think it is, as we gather together and sing, we have a lot to be thankful for the songs that we have in our books and the effort that has been going into it, and we need to continue to teach and gain appreciation for it. Well, that's the part we do when we come together, but then I think about it, what about when we are by ourselves and we have the earbuds in, or you pull the CD out from under the pickup truck seat, or wherever, the kind of music that you really like, then what happens? We can come and take part in the kind of good worship, the good singing that we have this morning. We can take part in that, and yet we can go otherwise and listen to things that aren't so well. And it seems like music is something that is so easy to hide, because it's not like a picture. Once you take a picture, it's taken. Music, you can listen to it, and then you can discard of the CD or whatever, and you can still bring that to memory and play it over in your mind, and yet no one knows about it. And that's true for many things, not just music, but it is something that we can do and hide it very well. And I'm not bringing this up this morning because I know of any problems that anybody has. I am totally innocent if someone is struggling with wrong music, but I think it is something we need to look at, because there is a lot of wrong music that is available today. And it's possible for us to get into it maybe somewhat innocently and maybe gain a taste for it, even though we don't understand how wrong it is. So just doing this for an encouragement that we exercise ourselves and think about the commitments that we make in song, the influence that they have upon us, and realize that, we'll talk about this a little bit later, about what we actually like is what we listen to. It seems like there is more music available today, and thinking about a cappella music, there's, I guess because of advances in technology, it has become cheaper and easier to produce nowadays, so there is a lot more that can be produced in an easier way. And so there is a broader variety that is available, and I just want to give some thoughts on that as we go along here, what we need to guard against. Well, does God care about the music that we listen to? Does it really matter what we listen to? Is it something that is neutral? I have a quote here that somebody gave. It says, "Our music is an extension of who we are and where we are spiritually. We do not listen to music that does not interest us or does not resonate with our spirit. It is a window into our soul." Do you think about that? I'll just read it again. "Our music is an extension of who we are and where we are spiritually. We do not listen to music that does not interest us or does not resonate with our spirit. It is a window into our soul." You know, you think about that, when the music that really does interest us is what we listen to. And it's, if you have music in your pickup or car or whatever, or MP3, you're going to have the music on there that you enjoy. I haven't seen anybody yet that puts music on there they hate. And it's something that we can identify with, something that we appreciate. So that tells us actually who we are. We can come here this morning and sing good songs, but actually what you enjoy is what you listen to when you decide what you want to play. And that's true on an individual basis, and you think about people groups. There are different people groups in the world, and they have their set of music. And you think about even on a national level, there is predominant music in nationalities, and it tells what the moral fiber of the music of the nation is, at least to a certain extent. Obviously, the broader, the more people that are involved, the less accurate it becomes for individuals. And you think about the progression of music in this country, and how the progression of moral decay runs so parallel with the progression of music. I don't know necessarily which one led the way, and I don't know if it's so important to know which one leads the way. But the moral decay in this country and the moral decay of the music are very much parallel, and so it is something that is very important. I have a number of facts about music. Number one, facts about music: it is an expression of what we love. You can find that, and these facts about music are relating either to good music or to wrong music, and anywhere in between. I'm not just talking about one kind of music. I'm talking about all music. It's an expression of what we love. And you think about the different music that's being played today or being sung today on Sunday, as we gather together for worship. We sang songs that expressed our love for God and for Jesus. And I just had to think about a picture in my mind, another man working on his restoring his sports car and in his garage, and what is the music that he has playing. You think about the contrast. It's an expression of what you love. Number two, it affects us spiritually and emotionally. That is something, again, that is goes for good and bad music. It affects us emotionally and spiritually. And you think about that, the differences in what people use, how people can use that to get their way. You know, the nation knows that when they play the right kind of music, it gets men's blood flowing, and the patriotic songs that can be sung to help soldiers, you know, to brave up and to be able to face the things that they need to face. It is something that it does affect us emotionally. And again, as we worship together, worship is a spiritual experience. It's also an emotional experience. And, you know, many times when there's a death or something that you're going through, you can hold your emotions until the singing starts, and then you lose it a lot of times, or you see other people that do. And so it is something that is very, very much an emotional and spiritual part of our life. And I think that's what makes wrong music so dangerous. We'll talk about that some later, but it does get a hold of us. Wrong music gets a hold of us just like right music does. And I think it's good that music does get a hold of us, but it's have the right kind. Okay, another fact, number three, it creates desire or taste for more. Again, music in a general sense, and either side, wrong or right music, creates a desire or a taste for more. And maybe even sometimes to the point of addiction, at least on the wrong side anyway. Number four, it is more easily remembered. You put music to something and it is easily remembered, more easily remembered than just having the words by themselves. This would go for the words of the song and also for the happenings that surround that part of your life that you listen to those songs in. When we moved to Georgia, however long ago that was, we're down there for 6 weeks and moved back, there was a tape that was before the CD days. There was a tape that we played a lot in that house down there, and I don't even remember. I wish I could find it. But later on, when I heard that tape, it just brought back memories of being down there and in that house. And you can see what memory, what music does, and words of a song. And not only remember the words, but you remember where you were when you heard those words. And again, that applies for the right kind and the wrong kind. And you think about that, how they're easily remembered, and you think about children singing. I think we've done, as a general sense, we do a pretty good job of keeping right music in our homes, but then, you know, we've resisted the television and the radio and things like that, the wrong music that comes in, but then the devil makes, well, maybe I shouldn't say it quite that strong, but what about the toys that come into our homes, those innocent toys you buy at yard sales and thrift stores and stuff like that? And I'm not saying that they're all wrong, but I would like to just throw that caution out that, yeah, we can have good music in the CD player, but what about the jangle that comes over the toy? Most of it is not that great a quality, so maybe it's not too big of a point, but I'm just throwing that word of caution out. So number four is more easily remembered when words are more easily remembered when put with music. Number five is God created it. God created music. We saw that already in Job chapter 38, verse 7, when we know music was before the foundation of the world, and everything was perfect then. And things that God creates, Satan takes it and perverts it. And we think about that in Genesis 6, when God looked down upon the world and saw the wickedness of men. It don't actually mention singing there, but Jesus referred to that in Matthew 24. Matthew 24:37 and 38 says, "But as in the days But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. We definitely know that the activities that it talks about here in the world very much involve music. Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, having a good time is very much in the world today, is music has its part there, and in a wrong way as we think of the world. And so I would definitely believe that in Genesis 6 there was wrong kinds of music as well. And so we see that, again, an example of what God created good, Satan takes and perverts it and makes a part of it that is wrong. There's probably more, I'm sure there's more facts about music, but that's the list that I have. Now I want to look at the dangers of wrong music. Number one, it gives glory to people. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42 verse 8 says, I am the Lord, this is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So he's saying there that he's not going to give his glory to another person. So if we're trying to uphold someone other than God, we're trying to give the glory that's due unto him. We're trying to give that to a person. And that's what wrong music does. It takes the emphasis off of God as the creator. It tries to show more talent, bring that out rather than glorifying the name of God. We see that Herod did that, and he wasn't singing, but he gave a great speech, and they said it is the voice of a God and not of man, and we see the end of Herod there, how he was eaten of worms and died a very miserable death. And we see that God's not willing to give that glory to another person. So I think we need to be careful. That's one of the dangers of wrong music, is that it gives glory to men rather than to God. And we know God is not pleased with that. Number two, danger of wrong music. Number two, it is for entertainment rather than for edification. I have 3 points under this. Letter A, music for entertainment breaks down reserve. Let's look at Exodus chapter 32. We know the story here when Moses was up on the mountain, and the children of Israel said they didn't know what had become of him. they brought their gold to Aaron and made that calf, and they proclaimed a feast and all that went with it, you know, and it was for entertainment. They wanted something that they could make a lot of, have a lot of fun with. And it says there in verse 25, Exodus 32:25, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. And we know that the feasting and the playing and the music that went along with that broke down the reserve that they should have had. And I don't know anything about concerts, don't desire to, but I'm told that this kind of thing happens in concerts. The things that people do, I don't know what extent, we don't need to know. But the things that people do there, they would never do in their right mind. But because of the music and the entertainment that goes on there, they do things that they are very ashamed of later. It seems like there's almost a parallel between strong drink and music. The things that, if you take the wrong kind of music, it intoxicates you to the point that you do things that you never would in your right mind. Okay, the next point, letter B, it confuses worship. I'll just read the first 6 verses of chapter 32 here in Exodus. Exodus 32, verse 1 says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with the graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. There, that looks like confusion of worship to me. They're mixing the good and the bad. And it's interesting that this was something that God's people were doing, and something that a leader in them allowed them to do, and the falsehood that was involved in all this. He says there in verse 1, they came to Aaron and said, For this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And then over in verse 4, after the calf was made, said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. They had just acknowledged that Moses led them out of the land of Egypt, and turned around and made something and acknowledged that that had led them out. And so we see the confusion and the mixing of truth and error together. It causes great confusion. Also in verse 5, at the end of the verse there, the first part too, is as Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And again, we have an a calf that the people are worshiping, and we're going to mix a feast to the Lord with it. So we see that's what music for entertainment does. It brings confusion rather than edification. We need to be aware of the kind of audience that the groups we listen to are trying to please. Thinking about recorded music that we purchase, the mixing, I'm thinking about this in relation to mixing good and the bad together and the confusion that brings. You need to be aware of the kind of audience that the groups we listen to are trying to please. There is a lot of that, I believe, that goes on. There's groups that take good gospel songs and mix the entertainment into that, and they go around and sing, and they can, they try to bring in a broad range of people. That way they can get more conservative people on to more liberal. You have to have both to get a broader crowd, so they try to do that. I think we need to be careful that we know who the people are that are singing on the CDs we purchase. Another thing I thought about in relation to that is, what kind of music does the group listen to that you purchase from? If you purchase a CD and it's obvious that that group listens to music, what kind of music do they listen to? I heard about one CD that I used to listen to. Someone told me that it was obvious. I think it was someone that knew as well. They knew what they were talking about. They said it was obvious that they listened to country music, and I don't have a high appreciation anymore for that group that I used to listen to, partly because of that. That influence, the way they sang, came through in the way they sang gospel songs. So we need to be careful, I believe, about that as well. So let's just think about that when we think about buying music. Go back to Psalm 19, verse 14, that verse we read. Is the music acceptable? Can we meditate upon it and have God approve of that meditation in our life? Okay, another danger of wrong music, the letter C, is it's empty. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 8. Here is a man that knew what he was talking about when he was talking about music. It says, I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasures of the kings and of the providences. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eye desired I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from all joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the work my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And we know that I read at other places that Solomon had these ships that went to all parts of the world, and they brought back precious kind of wood. There was the almug tree, and he took and made musical instruments out of those. And you can see here, well, his dad was a man that knew of musical things very well. David was called the sweet singer of Israel. He knew how to sing, and he knew how to play on an instrument, and he used that to bring glory to God. We know that he did, wrote many of the Psalms, and he sang them. And Solomon went on with that, and he tried to find the joy that he had lost earlier. He tried to find that through the songs of entertainment. And we see that he said, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So I think that we can see from this example, this was a man that heard more variety of music than any of us will ever imagine to do. And he said it was vanity and vexation of spirit. So it brings emptiness. It doesn't fill the inner need of our heart like it should. You think about that when it brings emptiness. What happens when you are empty? I think it creates a desire for more. And we try to get more, and the hunger never gets satisfied, and we go down. Generally, that road is down because we want more, and we get worse because it might answer the problem, and it never does. Okay, what are some elements of godly music? Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Another thing I wanted to say about recorded music is that you can be within the realm of good. You can be within the realm of good spiritual songs, and because of the people that are singing and the emphasis and the beat that they put with it, it makes it the wrong kind of music. So it's not just a cappella singing or singing that's acceptable. As a church, we allow anything that's not stringed. I'm not even sure how it says it. But you can be within the realm of being technically or legally right or whatever you want to say and yet have the wrong spirit behind it. We have to come back to these verses in the New Testament to identify what our music needs to be. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Notice there that this kind of singing teaches. It says teaching and admonishing one another. And it admonishes ourselves and it admonishes others. It says admonishing one another. That's what good music, godly music does. It admonishes as we sing them ourselves and as we sing to others, it admonishes to a life of holiness. And it should be done to the Lord. Maybe I should have said that one first. It needs to be done to the Lord. And before I forget, it doesn't matter. That is probably the most important one, whether you're on key or off key. To the Lord is first of all, and then after that, let's try to be as correct as we can. I believe that people that can't carry a tune can experience just as much worship through song as people that can very well. And maybe those that think we know how to sing, maybe we have less worship because we're paying too much attention to how we're doing it. But that's some of the elements of godly music. It teaches, it admonishes, it is truth, and it is to the Lord. Also, Ephesians 5, verse 19. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Again, these songs should be something that mean something to us personally. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it says, giving thanks always for all things. I think thankfulness is also a part of godly music. Again, the experience or the emphasis in verse 19 there at the end of the verse, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Again, emphasis on what is going on in your heart. We talk about in worship how God wants those to worship Him in spirit and in truth, as Jesus told the woman at the well that, and that goes for singing as well. It is to the Lord. Perfect praise comes from a sincere heart, not from perfect singing. But right along with that, I do think that God wants us to do our best and do all that we can to be on tune and to do it right. Also, I'm not going to give any pointers for song leading in our church services, but if you want some of them, you can go to The Pilgrim Witness. I'm not sure, I should have wrote the date down, but there was an article in there by Myron Gaiman on song leading. So if some of you young men want some pointers on song leading, you can go find that Pilgrim Witness. He had a very practical article on that. Well, let's have godly music, and let's make sure that our heart is in tune with God, and the music that we pull out during the day when no one is around is something that can enhance our spiritual life, draw us closer to God, and I'm sure God will be pleased with the meditation of our heart if we do that. Let's go to Revelation 5, verse 9, some verses about songs in heaven. In closing here. Revelation 5, verse 9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. There is a song that's being sung in heaven. Also, chapter 14, Revelation 14, verses 1 through 3. Says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in the. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song, before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And goes on talking about those people. So there is singing that is done in heaven. We can enjoy right kind of music here, have the meditation that we think upon as we listen to right kinds of music. It can be acceptable to God, and we can look forward to the time when we can gather around God's people, with God's people there in heaven, those that were redeemed, and we can sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Let's kneel for prayer.